Welcome back to the Anal Podcast. Thank you for joining us for another exciting Anal Probe segment. Join us as we break down the topics in the title and oh, so much more on every episode. Do you love the Anal Podcast? Feel free to leave a review, subscribe, or even tell a friend. It helps us get noticed, and we love to get noticed. You can email the pod at anewamericanlegacy@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at anewamericanle1. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to the Anal Podcast. Tonight I am joined by Jacob, John, Mike, Rochelle, and Jared. Why don't you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Jacob from Jacob's Bipolar Adventures.
Hi, I'm John, and LeVar Burton is amazing on Jeopardy, but you don't have to take my word for it.
Hi, I'm Mike. And this cookie's pretty delicious.
Hey, I'm Rochelle, and excited to talk about the Olympics.
Hey, I'm Jared, and you can take my word for it that LeVar Burton was great on Jeopardy.
I think that we had that documented in our episode that LeVar Burton was going to be amazing on Jeopardy, right?
It's another thing we predicted.
LeVar Burton is a good fit. So, but that's not, we're not talking about LeVar today. We're talking about the Olympics. Rochelle, it is your time to shine. The whole Olympic thing, I still don't understand it. Everybody's talking about it. Twitter's all a flutter and I don't understand. So please help me understand why the Olympics are awesome.
They're awesome because it showcases athletes from around the entire world who have been working just as hard as the next one become the best in, you know, their sport. And it should be an even competition. I mean, the idea of the Olympics is that you're competing with all these other amateur athletes. And I mean, that's why it should be special. But it's mostly like you're just watching all of these athletes compete that don't do this for their full-time job. You know, it's kind of like sometimes it's like their side, not hobby or something. It's like what they're doing on the side. They're not doing it full-time. They're still like a student in school or doing something else, but still just like working just as hard as it on it.
So is that like a worldwide thing that it's amateur, or is that just an America thing?
I think it's an Olympics thing. Yeah,
it's amateur like except when it's not.
Yeah,
like the basketball isn't.
Yeah, there's other like weirdness of it. I will say that watching these Olympics, it's so weird and it's so different, and it makes me feel like they shouldn't be happening right now. As much as I love the Olympics, it gives me a bad feeling watching these Olympic Games just because of COVID and seeing how different everything is. It makes me almost feel a little sad for the athletes because they're not getting to experience the full Olympic Games. I mean, they don't even have someone putting the medal on them, which to me is like, if you are an athlete, that's the moment that you dream about, is standing on the podium and, you know, dipping your head down and having someone put that medal on you. And now they're just handing it to you because they can't be too close. And for some reason, that just like hurts my heart. If you've been dreaming about this moment for your entire life and working hard towards it, and you have to put your own medal on afterwards, it's just weird. It shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, I can't help but agree with that. Like, I used to swim in high school, and to see swimmers on the sidelines with masks on, with their warm-up gear on, in addition to masks, like, that just seems like the weirdest thing to me, to have a swim cap on and to have a mask on. I understand its necessity, but at the same time, I don't see the necessity to have games going on during a pandemic. It just seems right. So weird. I've never seen anything more alien than a mask next to a pool.
Or competing in an empty stadium, or, you know, not necessarily empty. There's maybe like 1/10 of the amount of people in that stadium that should be. And that's weird, because every competition before this is, you know, been with to a full crowd, a full audience, and part of, you know, your mental game is blocking out all the noise. And I can't help but think that it's got to be really strange to be walking into a competition that's relatively quiet, I think that's probably going to throw you off a little bit of your mental game as well.
But do you think the lack of the crowd's like net positive or net negative for the athletes?
I think it might be a little bit of a negative, because that once you're competing at that level, you know, all your swim meets, all your whatever meets are, you know, to a big crowd. And it is part of, I guess, what you're focusing on is like focusing on pushing out all the noise when there is no noise. It's kind of like maybe your brain is going into a little bit of overdrive kind of panic mode because it doesn't have that extra stimulus to block out.
And when you are an athlete who's used to swim, or when you're used to track and things that don't attract big audiences in general, you thrive off of your family being there. You thrive off of your friends being there, but your grandparents, things like that. And when you can't have your close family there, and you know that they're just watching from television from, you know, halfway across the globe, that's a very weird feeling. You do kind of thrive off of them cheering for you. And when they're not there, that does, I think, in a way, affect your performance at least a little bit.
I can see like the lack of psych up. You know what I mean? The cheer of the crowd and being psyched for a sporting event seems like part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as like Olympic news goes, I've been hearing a lot about this Simone Biles character. I don't know anything about it, but I know that people are tweeting about it. There's tweets out there.
Oh boy, I have so much to say about that. First of all, I am so proud of her. Just incredibly, insanely proud. And it's so different, the sport of gymnastics. You can see how it is shifting to have the gymnast actually have, I guess, the gymnast feel comfortable enough to say no. And that is a huge, huge shift. And I was absolutely floored by that. In the best way possible. I was really, I don't want to say excited, but I was just like, I can't believe she said no. I'm so excited for her because I know how difficult of a decision that must have been for her. And she still like stuck to it and was like, I'm not going to do this. And I don't owe it to anybody to do it because this is my body. And I am just saying no.
So I understand why everyone's throwing a damn fit. Someone said no. I get it now.
Yeah. Yep. It doesn't matter what reason it could have been for. It could have just been whatever. And I hate seeing like so many articles and interviews and everything talking about all these reasons as to why. She just said no, so move on. That's all.
So for our listeners who may not be tuned into Olympic World, what exactly did she say no to and why?
She was one of four of the team members. So in gymnastics, it's kind of complicated. You have to qualify through so many different individualists. So having that four-person team is very pretty different format from how things kind of used to be. So now it's almost like every score counts in the team competition. You can't have, you know, six people on your team and say, okay, we're only counting these three scores because these are the three best scores. So I think it was a big deal in that sense because now she put additional pressure on her three remaining teammates to perform better, I guess, if you want to say that. But they still want a fucking silver medal, you know? So I feel like they
would all also just be glad that she did what she did. None of them would say they're upset with her at all.
Nope. I think so, maybe watching some body language and like how they reacted, I think there probably was a little bit of like, what the fuck, man? Just because that's human reaction, I don't think there's a way that you could probably get away from that. It seemed like at first they were a little like, okay, what do we do? What's happening? Kind of just general confusion maybe. And she was like, all right, you're fine. I got this. And I remember hearing her. She was like, if anybody needs anything, just let me know. I'll run. I'll go get it. I got you guys. And she was just in there. Her head was in the game for her team, but not really for herself. And that's perfectly fine. There should be no reason why anybody has any kind of opinion on anything that she owes her team. She didn't quit. She didn't do anything wrong. She simply stood up for herself, and people don't like that.
What about what she owes me, a very out-of-shape white male American?
I know. How dare she not
compete for you? Doesn't she owe me something?
Right? Yes. If I actually came across someone who had that argument, I would be hard to not throw hands at someone. Like, it gets to me in a really, really deep way.
Well, there's a whole backstory here that, you know, maybe for listeners that are not as well informed as we are, kind of need to know, to have some additional context here. I mean, she is part of the Larry Nassar issues, correct?
Correct. So she is the like last competing gymnast really who came out as a survivor of his abuse. Talking to Mike about that when we were watching that documentary Golden, which everybody should watch that, even though I know nobody will. I was like, she's going to have a breakdown at the Olympics because I cannot imagine just the trauma flashbacks that you're going to be having, knowing that in 2016, Larry was there. He was still there at those games. And it wasn't until after that, you know, that everything did start to come out and whatnot. I couldn't imagine walking into another international competition with USA on my sleeve, knowing that I'm about to just kind of, I don't know, that's just, it's so triggering to be in that same kind of scenario. I don't see how you wouldn't be able to like focus through all of that. I listened to an interview where she said that she just had started shaking. Like after she did her vault, she was, you know, shaking, which is a trauma response. And even if maybe she's not going to come out and say it and be like, hey, everybody, I was having severe anxiety because of this trauma that I've been through. Her body knows. Her body is, sometimes it's like your body is more smart and it remembers things that you've gone through, even if you're not quite like saying, yes, I acknowledge this is what I'm going through. On top of that, she has the entire world watching right now. So yeah, it's pretty understandable.
Yeah, I mean, I have no ability to empathize with it. I don't have to. She's under an extreme amount of pressure and nothing that anyone watching can understand. Literally zero people can empathize with her. And that's also got to be stressful. Like, how is she, totally. How she wakes up every morning and gets out of bed is an amazing victory, let alone being the greatest gymnast to ever live. But yeah, I've come across some people being shitty shit pants about it, and it's so difficult.
I have no room for anybody who says anything, I guess, negative about her or her decision. I have no room for it.
Yeah. Like I've read two separate instances where, and this is separate from everything else, where athletes are pushed too far, specifically female gymnastics athletes at the Olympics. The first is Carrie Strug, where she begged to not have to go compete. And we kind of all know the story where she went out and was it the pommel horse that she had to do with a broken ankle, and she landed it and they won the gold, something like that. But she begged to not do it. She didn't want to, and they made her do it. And then she had to retire because her leg was fucked.
And also, I don't really like that comparison. I'm not, it just, okay, it was a completely different scenario, I think, with that. She already had, like, an existing ankle injury, but, like, who doesn't when you're at the Olympics? Like, everybody's held together with tape.
Probably fair, yeah.
She did one vault, and she landed it, and, like, her ankle got worse, but she did make that decision to, like, continue and do the second vault because you get two vaults in the team competition, and then they take the better of the two. So, like, she landed, she fell on her butt, and she, like, tweaked her ankle even worse, and then she did the second one, and when she landed that one, that's when I think, she actually did tear something in her ankle.
I quite vividly remember that being on instead of a television show that I would have rather watched. I actually seen her land that mm-hmm. in real time, real life.
Me too. Oh, we were watching the same thing at the same time.
We were, but you were liking it and I was mad Supernatural wasn't on or whatever.
I was at the gym because obviously it was a weeknight, so we were there at the gym working out and we had the whole gym stopped and everybody was watching one TV. And of course, we were all just so excited watching. And this is like a gym full, like 40, 50 girls in here watching one small TV, like crowded around it. And after she landed it and after we found out that she won, like, or that the US won and that it was our first gold medal, we just went crazy. They're just screaming and it was amazing. That was a fun time. Yeah, everybody just was so excited. So excited.
Just, you know, the struggle. And I was unaware. I guess I read an article that was kind of incorrect with some of the details regarding Strug's actual happenings.
I've been seeing a lot of those and they're driving me nuts a little
bit. That's interesting. I'm glad you corrected it. So there was also one I saw of, I'm going to probably not pronounce it correctly, but Elena Mukina was a, I guess at this time, Soviet gymnast that performed a now banned move called the Thomas Salto.
Mm-hmm.
She under-rotated it and broke her neck. And yeah, she was a quadriplegic and died at the age of 46 after becoming a quadriplegic at the age of 20. Because she was, you know, pushing herself too far for the Olympics. And, you know, people would write to her asking her when she was going to compete again. You know, after everybody knew that she couldn't move her body anymore. So I guess I'm just adding to all of these horribly pressured stories of these people and how, you know, how great it is, but also like, God, how insurmountably, epically terrible all of that pressure would be. You know, there are several others like Jalissa Gomez. She was 15 years old and was prepping for the 88 Olympics. She was paralyzed and died 3 years later. This is in pursuit of, you know, being an Olympian. We don't need Simone Biles to risk becoming paralyzed so she can win a necklace. Like, I don't understand how people's values are so screwed up that they can take any other position other than supporting her. It makes no sense.
He said no, John. How rude.
Yeah, I don't know. It's exhausting, man.
Because she decided to also pull out of the individual all-around, I'm kind of excited because now Jade Carey gets to compete in her place. And she is from here, Phoenix, Arizona. Brian Carey was my younger brother's coach. We know him really well. Sunrays is an excellent gym here. And it's just been really exciting to see a lot of that, like, hometown pride and, like, home gym pride. And just, I don't know, my entire Instagram feed is nothing but gymnastics and Olympics related things right now. So I am so stoked to see Jade Carey compete on Thursday morning. So I'm looking forward to that. Very exciting.
I was hoping some of your Olympic joy would rub off on me, but it just isn't yet.
I only like curling, so...
Is that where they have to sweep off the ice really, really fast?
Yep.
Or really slow, or not at all. It depends. It's a very intricate, delicate sport. It's pretty much just like gymnastics.
Exactly like it. Especially rock. With all the training schedule.
These are people at their peak physicalities. How dare you question how much training they've undergone.
As the Olympics carry on, do we think that they are going to be responsible for spreading more Delta variant around? Do you think they have the situation under control? They're keeping the Olympian social distance to prevent breakthrough infections? What do you think that situation looks like?
Well, I mean, the thing is that they tested those beds, right? So we know they can get close enough to fuck. So who knows, right?
Three of them at a time, apparently.
Love the Olympics, but they shouldn't be happening right now. Yes, they are going to be spreading that shit everywhere.
Yeah, I just don't think it's possible to contain that.
How is your climate in Indiana / Arizona? Speaking for here locally, you go to the store, nay, a mask to be seen anywhere, and people look at you like you're a criminal about to rob the place if you're wearing a mask. That's what I have been seeing locally for myself.
Yeah, it would be the same here. Yeah.
People are wearing masks again, so that's exciting, I guess. I don't
know.
Like, amazing. Just going in the grocery store last week, I would say about, like, 60% were wearing masks. So.
Not 1% here. Like, you are lucky to see someone in a mask.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen maybe one or two people each time I've gone to a store wearing masks. But, yeah, it's I'm amazed that where you are, Rochelle, it's that high. That's weird. I don't understand. Or is it the people who are wearing the mask to protect themselves from the vaccinated? That would make more sense.
I think it's probably people who are vaccinated and, you know, maybe just never really stopped wearing a mask. That's just what it seems like to me.
In our area, that's likely the case. Like,
but it is, I think it has to do with our area, because if you went to like the west side, where it's a lot more suburban, just neighborhood type, whatever, I don't think there's as many people wearing masks. So but here, because we live in like actual Phoenix, like downtown area, there's a lot more people just walking around still with masks. And I don't think they never really took off the mask restriction for like public transportation and things like that. So still wearing lots of masks.
Yes, a couple states and a few cities have reinstated their mask mandates.
So if we've reinstated a mask mandate, but I think for K-12 schools, they did instate like a mask mandate while you're inside. So
I think they purposely said here that K-12 will not be doing that.
Specifically, we are not going to make them mask. Even if people start dropping dead left and right, it's over. No mask.
Well, wow. I mean, as of right now, they won't. But yeah, who knows?
Well, and you know, it's going to be interesting to see what the narrative that comes of all this, because I'm already seeing like blaming, you know, Republicans and stuff like that for not having enough rules, or, oh, they don't have the mask mandates, or, you know, no, people aren't getting vaccinated. And it's like, it doesn't, like, the failure is not of not individuals. The failure is of the government. Like, yeah,
the,
you look
the
at
failure happened a year ago.
Yeah. And it's happening again now. Like what Biden said, we won't lock down anymore. We'll wear masks again or something. But it's just the narrative is going to be to blame individuals for like the failures of the government that could not put people's lives above capital. I mean, look at places like Vietnam. Like they're getting hit with the Delta variant again. And what are they doing? You know, they're locking down. They're providing for their people again. You know, when there's lockdowns and giving them free food and things like that, that, you know, that's what stops the virus from spreading definitely when it can't spread to other people. Like, that's the only guarantee. And they don't have as high vaccination rates as we do. Like, the United States is hoarding vaccines to the point that they're being wasted because, you know, we can't, for, you know, barely stop the capital from flowing for, you know, a few weeks of lockdowns. We wouldn't dare do that. Now we're just vaccinate people because we can make money doing that. And just, you know, still the poor are going to suffer and die because they're either misinformed about vaccines and they're not getting it, or they don't have time to get vaccinated because they have like two jobs and they can't afford to take the time off, you know, to risk getting sick from getting one of the jabs.
Or they need to go work a 10-hour day in the gig economy for $30 so they can get a damn tetanus shot.
Yeah.
Real life examples.
Yup.
So just don't let them spin it on individuals is what I'm saying.
That's kind of what the system does. It blames the problem on, like, global warming. It's all our fault for using the wrong straws, right?
Yes.
Yep. And we need to recycle better. It's our fault. And like,
isn't it kind of proven that recycling's sort of a huge money racket too?
Well, I mean, people stop recycling whenever they can't make money doing it. So I know our town doesn't recycle glass anymore.
Well, no, recycling is like a farce.
Yeah, like that's what I was under the impression.
Oh yeah, 9% of your can actually gets recycled. Most of it ends up in the ocean.
Right, and the rest was sent to like China, and then China was like, "We don't want anymore." And then, and then your local government's like, "Well, I guess we can't recycle anymore."
We, at this point, don't we send most of our trash to India?
Yes, I think.
Like, literally, it is our trash can. I know we have Indian listeners. I'm so sorry you're swimming in our garbage. But I believe we pay lower wealth countries to literally store our trash. Like, here you go, landfill is for us.
Didn't Daddy Bezos come up with a plan for that?
Yeah, giant space dicks that are going to ejaculate garbage into the sun.
Did we talk about that last week?
Space dick? Are you kidding? It had its own hashtag.
We keep doing that.
No, never mind. I distinctly remember. It's just so absurd. Like, I go up into space.
The Earth is losing that mass, too. All that matter is gone from the Earth and can't be replaced. Like,
that is true. It'll be a permanent reduction of mass.
Yep.
When could that become a problem? Like, how far could you push that?
I mean, will that be a problem before we all burn up?
No.
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 So might as well just do it.
I'm pretty sure Italy's on fire, and so is California and Washington. I think there's a fair chunk of the planet on fire right now, including the ocean. No,
we put that out.
Maybe the trash will make a new ozone. It'll be fine.
Well, it's one or the other. You're either on fire or you're flooded.
Oh, I forgot about the flooding.
Flooding everywhere.
If you burn the trash, doesn't it give the bar a nice smoky smell and then it goes up into the sky and becomes stars?
Yes.
So
Maybe we should burn all the garbage so that it darkens our ozone so that we can prevent the sun from cooking us alive.
And also give the bar a nice smoky smell.
Yeah, that too. I don't know. The Delta variant doesn't have me as concerned as the third one out from here, whatever that one will be. Epsilon. I don't know the Greek alphabet. Yeah. So.
Isn't there already another one?
Yes, the Gamma variant, and it's already happening.
Yeah.
Gamma. Oh, shit.
Yeah, there are other letters in the Greek alphabet. So.
Well, yeah, which one is going to have the 40% fatality rate? That's my concern. Which one's going to mutate, not to spread more effectively, but to fucking destroy its host?
Well, that's the one that's going to definitely come from the tigers, right? I mean, that's going to happen.
That was the first mutation, the tiger variant.
That was definitely the first one?
That was Alpha. It wasn't called that. They called it the, quote, UK version variant, but that was Alpha.
This one going to be like a gorilla one?
I don't know, but if there's an ape variant, that could be good for AMC.
No, Rob. Not yet.
What a segue.
Wow.
It's not time to talk about how today they put out a bill that's going to put on 4 new laws on the books that are specifically for AMC, essentially. Stop short selling, increase transparency in short seller actions. Yeah, it's all very interesting, but it's just a bill right now, but we'll see. It's very exciting.
Just a bill on Capitol Hill. Sure, let's band-aid it right now. Just tear it off. What do you got?
That's
it. Dump it all on me. Oh, well, good. We're done.
That's it. There are actual bureaucratic steps being taken about 9 months after they were required. So we're running right on par with the speed of our government. But actions being taken as far as the stock itself, it's still in that $32 to $42 channel. And I expect it to stay there for a good while. Yay, AMC.
Our local Congress golem.
Mike Kelly?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Has put out some, and I don't know if he sent it out in one of his emails that I think Jared also gets, or it was in the newspaper. It might have been in our local paper. But he's putting for he's like in charge or at the head of the Ways and Means Committee. He's putting forth an effort to make the IRS less scary to people, and I don't understand why.
Well, they must be under the impression that people in general have as much money as they do.
I think he has to start off with the impression that the people are scared of the IRS. And I don't think that's ever really been an issue.
Well, I feel like there's that underlying fear every time you file taxes that you're going to get audited. And that's bad. But
yeah, I was going to say, I've seen on television shows a very stereotypical representation of what you're talking about that I've never really quite understood either, now that you mention it. But I've seen in like television shows people being depicted as fearful of the IRS. Me personally, I don't give a shit. I don't make any money. I'm a poor ass.
The audits don't really happen anymore like that. Like, they just send you a thing that says, hey, we calculated that you owe this amount. Pay it or fight it. Your choice.
And you just you just pay it because you're already poor.
The other day.
Yeah, you just pay it because you're fucking terrified. But yeah, they don't really go and like, I just need to see your receipts and all that stuff. That's just...
Well, but also the thing that's stupid is that every year of my life, you know, past when I was, you know, not a dependent anymore, I've had to file for taxes. And it's like, I've never owned anything like capital until, I guess, recently. I have a house now with my wife. But like before that, it's just... The only stuff you have are my wages that I make that you know I make because my employer has to file it with the government. Why do I have to file taxes? Don't you already know, have all the information? Like, it just seems ridiculous. Like, I feel like I was reading somewhere, like, other countries, like, just taxes just happen. Like, you don't have to file this ridiculous labyrinthian code every year because it's much more simple.
They just send you a letter, tell you how much. Because, I mean, they already know. Every government already knows how much you owe.
Yes.
We just have to, like, guess each time and hope we're right. And then hope nobody checks. Like, it's stupid. He wants to, instead of literally any of the other issues that we have, he's going to make the IRS less scary.
Well, hey, now listen, to be fair, if you recall the last big message, he was saying how bad Cuba and critical race theory are. So he's got his finger on the pulse, you know.
Speaking of which, I think my teacher friends may have gotten some communication on critical race theory. So I have to check into that.
Yes.
Maybe a cliffhanger for a future episode. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm very interested in the CRT because that in the area in which I do reside, I have heard whisperings of the "We can't CRT our kids." I was supposed to be like, they took our jobs, but it didn't really work.
We can't let them know CRT.
They're germs. They're CRTing our kids.
It doesn't flow.
But at the end of the day, indoctrination has been a word that I've been hearing tossed around on mainstream media on both the right and the left recently. And everybody is super, super worried about their kids being indoctrinated into something that isn't what they believe. Well, wake up, boomers. Your kids are never going to believe what you believe because you've been taught archaic practices and your kids are above it. Get over it.
I mean, that's every generation. Yeah.
Yeah.
That came out way harsher than I intended, but boy, did it flow.
Nice.
So, who wants to take lead on the whole Blizzard Activision nightmare? Anybody? Because I personally play an MMO that's invaded from WoW players who no longer play WoW because of the whole thing. And I think when your player base is like, that's fucked up, we quit your game, that you probably got some real problems.
Well, they do. They definitely have some problems.
Rob, I haven't heard anything about this. What's going on?
Well, the long and the short of it is a young woman was sexually harassed, and she went along and did everything she was supposed to, and they basically gave her, oh, big old fuck you, and it got so hard and bad and out of control that she ended up taking her own life. And it's being called, quote-unquote, frat boy culture. And the higher-ups are pretty much complacent in the entire thing to the extent that the staff had walked out. They had a walkout day. And
it was today.
Yeah, actually calendar day of the 28th. And players are just walking away from their games and uninstalling their Blizzard Activision installers. And they're taking a stand, I guess, which is something that is weird that the people have the power to do so effectively digitally. Like, I just stop paying you every month, and that sucks for you. So yeah, that's pretty much the long and the short of it. Blizzard's a shit company, and people are like, we're not going to pay you anymore because you're shit.
Well, the capitalism sucks is the...
Well, and the other thing is, right. Industry, it's a brand new kind of like industry, no regulation whatsoever. And they've just been insulated. These companies just been insulated, and they've been able to, the problem's just been able to grow and fester.
Well, no, but no, it's like, basically they haven't unionized yet, right? Is what you're saying. Like they haven't.
Yes, exactly.
The women that work in that industry has got to be so much smaller, like a smaller percentage, that it's got to be a lot harder.
Oh, it's got to be brutal.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, I can't imagine, like, because of how just, you know, video games and that culture is like this weird masculine nerd thing. And that, you know, just being
a true gamer.
A true gamer and being female or female presenting or anything like that, you're immediately suspect, right? As a player, let alone someone who, you know, has the power to make, you know, the game, right? And throw your feminine critical race theory agenda in it with your strong female characters. Right? I mean, it's got to be awful just trying to, you know, something that you love and trying to get in that industry as not like a cishet white man, you know?
Isn't the theme of our country, like, it's hard to do anything if you're not a cisgendered white man?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what were you saying?
Do you remember when we went to visit that guy? We did a job shadowing with him, and it was like in high school, I think.
Yes, yeah.
He's a programmer dude, and like, I think didn't one of his friends or something go on to work at Blizzard or something?
Maybe. Well, one of the students that I at the college that I supervised, I think he works at Blizzard now.
Oh man.
Yeah, I remember one, we went to lunch at Pizza Hut. And two, I remember he said programmers were just like the disposable steel workers of the 21st century.
Yep.
It's like, yep, okay. That's the thing that I remember.
That seems pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Mike, as programmer, is that how you feel you're treated? Are you a steel worker? Go to work, work hard?
Well, I mean... Not specifically me, because I was lucky enough to get my foot in the door in like a niche kind of industry. And I know like I'm specialized in such a way that there's just not a lot of people that know what I know. But if I was just like a regular developer, just like trying to work on a game, especially like almost every, like those are usually contract jobs and you just don't have a job once you're done. And I know that that's common throughout software development. It's not just games.
Would you almost consider software development like almost gig work in that sense?
It can be. I mean, it really depends on what, you know, what you're trying to do. If you're doing something like web development, yes. Web dev, if you're making websites for people, that's almost like exclusively going to be a contract-to-contract thing. Unless you... just work somewhere that like is like a consulting company maybe, and you know, then you
because in that particular scenario, unless you have a wage to support you when you're not working from a quote company, you mm-hmm. just don't make money between jobs.
Yeah.
So yeah, that makes it seem very giggy to me. I wonder if you know that type of software development job falls under Prop 20, for God's sakes.
Oh, it could. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It might be different just because the type of contract that is drawn up is probably just, I don't know. It's not as exploitative, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it all sounds very complicated to me.
It does. And yeah.
I'm super glad that I don't work at a video game development company, because yeah, if frat culture is real, I would hate every second of it.
Yeah, and I wanted to be a game developer. I'm glad that I didn't go down that road.
Yeah, but don't we sort of live in a time now where the software tools are like made available enough that, given enough time and effort, you could kind of make your own thing? Yeah, it's not going to be a triple A, but indie world is a real thing now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I pretty much only care about indie games these days anyway. So, yeah, I mean, it's you can just download Unity and learn how and watch YouTube tutorials and learn how to build something. And, you know, get it on Steam and actually make money for it with it.
So that's it, listeners. Everyone go get Unity, YouTube, and make video games. That's the answer. You heard it here first.
You don't need a damn Blizzard Interactive. Well,
yeah, you don't have to work for Blizzard.
Unless you want that, you know, amazing animation quality.
I don't think anybody needs that if it comes along with conditions that are so bad that someone would take their life. Like, I don't need to play World of Warcraft ever again if, you know, they have to make conditions so bad for people that that's what happens. I can pass that. Yeah, I can pass.
Yep.
Pass.
Pass. Well, also, we're playing Paladins instead of Overwatch, so that one's handled, too.
Oh, these are the games of our lives. So, in other news, I did see that officially Britney Spears' lawyer has officially filed for the conservatorship to be removed. I don't know if it's happened or if it will happen, but he is like doing that thing that he was supposed to do, which that's great news.
It's fantastic news. It hasn't officially happened, but the court date got moved up. I don't know what the official court date is, but the court date got moved up to remove Jamie Spears from the conservatorship. So
we've been talking about this conservatorship for almost, what, a month after Cosby has walked? Cosby's still walking around free, and Britney is still being forcibly castrated in the world that we live in. Just put that out there.
And at the moment, the plan is to, once he's removed, should that happen from the court, which I don't see why that wouldn't happen, but once that happens, the plan is to substitute Jamie for a CPA that has been selected by both Attorney Rosengart and by Britney Spears. So the conservatorship wouldn't necessarily end, but it would be administered by a certified public accountant who both of them have selected, and that would be a much more fair arrangement.
Do you think at this point that there's part of the conservatorship that Britney would like to leave in place? Like, I'm not speaking for Britney or anything, but some people know themselves. And if she knows that once she has full access to her money, she's going to run the fuck amok, then that may be better for a trusted CPA to have her purse strings.
It's possible. And maybe Rosengart saw that that's something that maybe the court possibly would have said, hey, maybe we don't want the conservatorship to end altogether. Maybe there was some trust issues with the judge. Maybe Rosengart saw that as something that would be a stumbling block. Maybe Rosengart sees this as a baby steps sort of thing. You know, remove the original conservator first and put somebody in place that we trust, and then we can begin to undo the entire conservatorship thing altogether. I'm not sure what the whole legal strategy is, but at
least at the end of the
day,
Britney's where she wants to be, as far as, you know, the general public can tell. She isn't like sending out any more secret coded Instagrams.
Yeah, as far as I know, she's exactly where she wants to be, you know, legal wise. With this entire process, she seems to be happier than she's ever been as well. So,
well, good for Britney. That's, I guess, some good news. Anybody else have any good news? It's rare.
Giraffe isn't even here. He gave up.
He dropped. Oh, no.
He couldn't find anything good about America.
Well, I mean, I think
America's done.
Pedro again Castillo was officially confirmed as president, I believe, of Peru. So that's good
tell
news.
Tell our listeners why that's good news, Jared.
Because he's a Marxist, and instead of living in the presidential, I don't know if it's like a palace or an estate, he said he's going to just turn it into like a museum about how awful colonialism is.
Oh, shit.
Which is fucking badass. So
cool.
What would be the equivalent of like something like that happening in the United States?
I mean, the White House would just be about, I don't know, slavery? I guess slavery. Yeah, slavery.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
Well, also, I mean, slavery, but also the genocide of the, you know, indigenous peoples. Like,
oh, when, Jesus.
That as well. Yeah.
Didn't we talk about how we nuked Japan after the war was over? We did that too, didn't we?
I think we talked about that as a
show of, yeah, specifically as a show of force.
Oh, gotta show those commies what's up, right?
So now that Castillo is in charge, what sanctions do you think are going to be applied to them?
Oh, I can't. Very soon, there's going to be some human rights issues. There's gonna be some human rights issues that we're gonna have to. I don't know. Why don't we make the people suffer because of some quote unquote human rights violations that Peru's doing? And that's what's gonna happen, I'm sure. So I don't know specifically what they're gonna try to pin on anyone, but you know,
interesting. They do
it. Well, they do it. You know, they do it in Venezuela. They're doing it in Peru. I mean, if Lula wins in Brazil, they'll do it there as well. Well, because what's his face is in the hospital yet again, Bolsonaro.
Oh, Bolsonaro. Oh, that's good.
Still hasn't just constantly in the hospital. Has not died yet.
Do you think he has COVID?
I don't know what the latest thing is. It's just he keeps just on the brink of death, and they just keep reviving him so he can burn down more of the rainforest.
I was going to say there's no fresh air in Brazil because the entire forest is on fire. So,
well, yeah, they're lighting that one intentionally, and the rest of Italy hasn't it been evacuated because it's on parts of it are on fire.
Wait, Italy?
Yeah, I think Italy, like two giant tourist areas in Italy had to be fully evacuated because it's just on fire.
Whoa, yikes.
Like, the wildfire thing is no longer just the West Coast. Like, everywhere just is sort of spontaneously catching on fire, including the fucking Gulf of Mexico. These are not good times when shit's just randomly bursting into flames.
Yeah, it's pretty terrifying.
And we're just getting started.
Yeah, it's Italy's Sardinia region. They're calling it an absolute disaster without precedent. 25-mile swath of farms and villages have just been wiped off the map, including several tourist destinations.
Jeez.
It does look like they got everybody out because it's sparsely populated, but like I guess like 50,000 acres are just burnt clear.
Whoa. What happened? I know, like, why it started or anything?
It's because the temperature was so high. The temperatures were 104 degrees on the days that the fires caught, and they had a constant wind out of the southwest, which just blew them so fast that there was no control.
Wow.
Well, you know, as long as that just untold amount of wealth that's been hoarded by the Vatican is still safe,
I'm sure that did not catch on fire.
That's the important thing, right? That the Catholic Church can still just keep all its wealth it's stolen over the years.
I guess the big deal in the whole thing isn't the fact that 50,000 acres burnt or that people lost homes. It's that every single herd that was in those 50,000 acres has also been lost. So all sheep, cattle, every herd as well as lost, man, in the entire area. So whether they died in the fire or just ran for their lives, they're gone. Anything else on fire we need to talk about?
Well, I mean, in more positive news, Black Widow star David Harbour says he doesn't know that there's anyone who could disagree with socialist ideology. So
apparently he hasn't met most of this country.
Hasn't met my entire hometown. Sweet summer child.
Well, speaking of hypocrisy, the tweets John posted were great from Tomi Lauren, who's, and this is not an isolated incident of just the, you know, conservatives just having no like compass or morals and just completely grifting at all times.
Like, yeah, where did I put this? And are they in the pod tops? Yeah, they're in the pod tops.
Pod tops, yeah.
Rochelle, would you like to be Tomi Lauren?
Yeah, do it, Rochelle.
Sure, yes.
Okay, we'll go in the pod tops and scroll up a little bit.
I'm going.
Do
just
it.
Pretend you're, you just embody the wine mom aesthetic.
Pretend you're an idiot asshole.
My voice is all gravelly because I just took a hit. Dang it.
It'll help.
I might have to mute you because it's going to make me sick if you're good at it.
I don't think I'm... Okay, ready? This was posted April 25th, 2019.
I posted this April 25th, 2019.
Oh my god. Now we have a measles outbreak in LA County, as if we don't have enough problems. If not vaccinating your kid only impact your kid, fine. But that's not the case. Vaccinate your kids or stay home. But wait. On July 6, 2021, she said, "When Biden's vaccine patrol comes and knocking, they can kiss my country ass. Take your experimental vaccine and shove it in your own arms."
There, bravo. That was great.
Yeah, that's good.
The second one. Chef's kiss. That was wonderful.
She's the worst.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but yeah, it's like, you can, there's always a tweet, right? Like, the internet is undefeated, and these people just say whatever to do whatever. Like, there's a tweet of her where, you know, she's all about bootstraps and working hard. And how about you get a job and crap like that? But, like, she talked about getting a really cushy job at her mom's company. Like,
yeah,
fuck.
Exactly.
Did anyone have anything else that they wanted to touch on, bring in, mention, plug, and or say?
Rob, I want to touch so many things.
Do it. Touch them all. Then write a book about it. Things I've touched and take pictures of it. Because you are a photographer. And people would buy a book called Things I've Touched.
Yeah, probably.
Dang. So do it. PM. Trademark that idea.
You do it. Well, I mean, like, there are a lot of people that, like, do that. And, yeah, some of them, like, sell things that they've touched. Very intimately, even.
Oh my! Jeez.
You're gonna sell your bath water, John?
I can sell my Gamer Boy bath water.
Yes.
And I can put like an asterisk on it. Like, I wasn't playing any of those Blizzard games when I made this bath water.
It's ethically sourced, right?
It is ethically mined. Gamer Boy bathwater.
Would it be kosher, though?
I don't think the salt that comes off of me is kosher.
How would it be? Could you kosher it?
Well, I don't know.
If you can make it kosher, you've got a real business model there.
Are people kosher? Oh, there's a question for Google.
Google it. Someone Google it.
Is human flesh. How would I, like, it's not, are people
incognito, like, mode. Yeah. Incognito.
No, I want this to be on my Android when I die. Is man flesh
forbidden because humans are not kosher animals?
Kosher. Oh, okay.
We're not kosher.
We're not kosher.
Oh, that's sad. What if you, like, bite your fingernails? Are you, like, going straight to hell?
Yeah, probably.
Wait.
Maybe. In the South Sea Islands, human flesh is referred to as long pig.
You didn't know that? I knew what a long pig was.
Wait, how are humans not kosher? Because they eat human. Because they eat human. Like, the reason why stuff is not kosher is because the pigs would eat human food, and the amount of food you would get back from feeding the pig your food was less than the human food you gave it, so it wasn't worth it. And that's why they made those rules of from God. From hashtag from God.
On God.
From God. Hashtag. That was... So, aren't humans automatically kosher because we eat human food?
Well, human milk has to be kosher, right?
Sure.
Oh, that lactic fluid makes my throat tighten every way. And my mom drinks like a gallon of it a day. She loves milk, and it just disgusts me.
Oh, stop it.
Lactic fluid. Why would someone choose to consume that?
Well, because there was a huge marketing campaign from Kellogg's, right?
Well, it's because of the cheese mines, isn't it?
So you don't masturbate, so you'll eat your cereal and drink your milk.
But the reason for that campaign was because of the cheese mines. The government subsidizes all these things that have dairy in them because of the cheese mines.
Government cheese.
Yeah. But every time you have milk pouring in a commercial, regardless of what the commercial is for, you get money from the government because you included milk in it.
Oh yeah, exactly. It's a fucking scheme. It's the same thing I was referencing breakfast is the most important meal of the day. That was just Kellogg's trying to sell you cereal so you don't masturbate.
Yes, that was cornflakes specifically. Yeah.
Right. Okay. That's where that comes from. Yes. The doctor was like, if we give people this disgusting full grain cereal, they won't masturbate.
That's also why graham crackers were invented. Graham crackers aren't supposed to have cinnamon and sugar on them. They're just supposed to be this bland cake that's so boring you won't touch yourself. Like, that was the literal plan.
Why the hell would that make a difference?
What the fuck?
Yeah, graham crackers is on that list too.
So don't eat that and still touch yourself. Like,
oh man, golden graham cereal is so good. I've recently been eating a lot of cereal. Like,
does it make you horny?
Do you put lactic fluid on it?
No, it's because I recently started liking almond milk. I used to not like it, and I gave it another shot, and I was like, damn, this shit's delicious.
I've recently discovered I'm allergic to almonds, so I'm going to not do that.
Oh, no.
And I have to get that soy milk. Just be a full-on soy boy.
I have no desire for milk in any way, shape, or form.
I don't like soy milk. I've tried it. Yeah.
Just pass on the milk. I can't do it.
It's still better than cow milk. Like,
cow milk also filled with hormones, crazy amounts of hormones?
Oh, sure. I mean, how else are those cows gonna survive in their insufferable conditions we force them to live in?
I saw the commercials that it's made with happy cows.
Oh, okay. I don't have to worry about that. Well, I'll buy that then. It makes me feel good.
Good. Glad I helped.
Damn, farming is sad.
Thank you.
Well, farming is sad because at the end of the day, you put a gun to the cow's head and you shoot it so people can eat it. And you chop off the chicken's head so that you can eat it. And you steal the chicken's unborn young so that you can eat it. And you shoot the pig so you can eat it. You kill all those things so that you can eat them, including the plants. I mean, they die too. So yeah, farming's like fucked up, sad shit right there.
Well, but what's even more fucked up is 40% of the food produced goes to waste.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
People are starving.
I read an article. Still. We are up to 60% of all commercially produced food expires and is disposed of. And most expiry dates are way, way earlier than they actually need to be. They are literally designed because they know you'll throw it away on that day and you'll go buy more.
Capitalism, it's so efficient. God damn it.
An answer for everything.
And it's just people are starving. And we can't give them the food, right? Because it's past the quote expiration date, right?
Our food, it is worth more in the garbage expired than it would be to get it to somebody else.
Yep.
Thank you for joining us for another exciting Anal Probe segment, listeners. We appreciate you, the ones that stick around to the end. Don't forget, you can reach out to us at anewamericanlegacy@gmail.com. Or you can find us on Twitter @anewamericanle1. A special thanks to all the Anal Podcast participants, hosts, as well as music producers and content and idea creators. The show wouldn't be possible without you, so credit where credit's due. And as always, listener, stay safe out there.